For WAMC News, I'm Jim Lavoulis. Vera Icarius-Kelly is a Siena College professor and a regular panelist on WAMC's The Roundtable. She was one of those individuals having to do some international travel during this coronavirus pandemic. So, Vera, first for our listeners, where were you and why?
So I went to Düsseldorf, Germany, which is in North Rhine-Westphalia, the area that is most heavily affected by the coronavirus at this point in Germany. My older brother turned 60, and I had bought a ticket over spring break to go visit family members and celebrate my brother's birthday. So that was the original plan, and I flew out about a week ago. And my idea was just simply to see family and my brothers, my nieces and nephews, and sort of spend some time with family and seen for a little while. And all went well. We followed German governmental instructions on social distancing and really reduced our interactions with neighbors, people in the community. And then all of a sudden, President Trump made his announcement last week, Wednesday, in the evening, which of course was in the middle of the night in Germany, and said everybody needed to get out. You know, everybody, he would close borders. And as a German citizen who's married in the United States, I didn't quite know what that would mean for me. My husband tried to reach me at 3 a.m, but of course our phones were turned off. And so I woke up Thursday morning last week thinking, wow, I need to get back ASAP before the borders close. And my flight wasn't leaving, my originally scheduled flight wasn't leaving till Sunday. So we pretty much knew that the Sunday flight would likely be canceled. So my entire family became really actively involved in searching for a return option for me. I could have stayed in Germany, I guess, for weeks and months, but I really wanted to get back to my husband and my work here in the United States. So we called airlines on the phone. We tried to get a rebooking opportunity on the internet, but everything was overloaded. So my older brother came up with the idea to go to a travel agent in a small town nearby to see if we could find some other emergency ticket booked for the next day. So we went to the small travel agent. We found 4 open seats, not from the city of Düsseldorf, but from Frankfurt, which was a 3-hour car ride away. And my younger brother drove me to the airport. I booked that emergency ticket. It was really expensive, but it allowed me to come back Friday at 6 p.m. to Newark rather than, you know, after midnight, which would have been a huge problem.
Well, we certainly welcome you back stateside here. You mentioned social distancing, some of the measures that were taken. From what you were able to see, how did people in Germany respond to those measures in comparison to maybe what you've seen so far happening in the United States so far?
So there are a couple of differences I would have to point out. First of all, social distancing was implemented right away in Germany, and it was interesting to me to see how actually many more people in Germany followed instructions by their governmental agencies to pursue social distancing measures. The entire time I was home, I only saw my brothers and my sister-in-law. We did not include any younger people in our gatherings, or our walks outside only involved sort of more remote locations, not city environments. Many of the small restaurants had closed, deciding that it would be better and safer not to have guests in restaurants. And another really interesting measure was that families were encouraged not to bring children in contact with grandparents or older generations. So there was an immediate distancing between children who could possibly carry the virus and infect older or unwell relatives, right? So the idea was let's keep the generations apart to make sure we have a much lower infection rate and death rate, which in fact so far has worked out in Germany. Germany has, of course, over 10,000 infected members of society, but the death rate in Germany is quite low, among the lowest in all of Europe. While it is extremely tragic to lose people, the numbers have been kept very low. Now, the question I wanted to also respond to in terms of why is it that some societies are able to follow social rules and social expectations better than others. I think the Germans observed what was happening in Italy. Italians are very social people. They had larger social gatherings. They kiss each other on the cheek to greet each other. All of those observations were made in Germany, and people said, we can't be doing that, or we'll have the exact same scenario in Germany. So that's where social distancing was taken very seriously. In addition to that, governmental measures were followed, and Germans have, I believe, a higher trust in the accuracy of what their government officials say to them and follow instructions by health departments more closely than here in the United States.
And for our listeners who may not know, you are battling cancer. Now that you're back in the U.S., has your treatment been impacted at all?
So this was, in essence, one of the reasons why I really felt it was necessary for me to return. It would have been difficult to stay in Germany and then transition my healthcare, to Germany and find an oncologist, whereas here I was a well-established patient with NYOH, and I know my doctors and my nurses, and so basically one of the reasons I wanted to return and not run into difficulties was to access my healthcare options. So as soon as I returned, I followed a procedure and I called NYOH to find out what my options were. And initially, the office was very concerned because I got off an international flight and they didn't want to see me for weeks. And I insisted that they should since I didn't have symptoms. And I said, how about testing? And they, of course, said testing kits were not available. And so in the end, we negotiated through, and I apparently in one of the offices was the very first patient to come in after traveling internationally. So what we arranged for is that when I arrived, I would stay at least 6 to 8 feet away from anybody and just announce that I had arrived, that I would need a mask, and I was immediately asked to enter a conference room to my right, so I never entered any medical facility or clinic and didn't endanger any other patients. And I was treated in that space, and I got injections, and then I left right after that. So I was treated successfully, but it took a little bit of work to actually get the office to figure out its own protocols. I was surprised that the protocols had not been put in place already. So I feel actually that I helped that office figure out what they needed to do step by step by calling.
Throughout the development of this now global pandemic, we've heard about at-risk populations. Being that you are battling cancer, do you consider yourself at greater risk? And if you do, what would be your message to those in the community who aren't at risk and say, you know, I'm not going to 80% of people who contract this virus only have mild symptoms. So what's the big deal about?
Yeah, I mean, clearly everyone who undergoes cancer is an at-risk patient. So are people with heart disease, diabetes, or any other underlying health concern. So we are at risk, and it doesn't matter how old you are. If you have an underlying condition, you are at risk. And so The reason why I didn't see my nieces and nephews in Germany is because I am an at-risk person, and my nieces and nephews in Germany said, no, we can't. This time, Auntie Vera, we can't see you because it's very dangerous for you. So they understood that, but here in the United States, I must say, I believe that people are a little slow on the uptake. Now, I have a lot of great neighbors who understand very specifically what they can and cannot do, but they're paying very close attention to what this, what, for example, Dr. Fauci has explained in terms of flattening the infection curve so that people have access to health care when they need it and to not overload the hospital system or the emergency rooms. But what I was really surprised about were some of the images I've seen coming out of Florida in terms of people going to the beach or, you know, students, college students being on spring break and enjoying their own time, or New Orleans images where people are in Bourbon Street in large crowds and partying together. When they return home, they will be bringing home the infection to their own communities. And it is irresponsible. I find it shocking how thoughtless, apparently, some people are, not reflecting on what they will be doing to their own communities by importing the virus to their families and their neighborhoods. So, yes, I must call on everybody in their own communities to stay home. I, you know, was never put on quarantine by the health department, of course, but I self-quarantine in my house for that very reason. I don't want to be infected, and I certainly don't want to infect others. That is the only way for us to prevent massive death rates in the United States.
And Vera, in addition to being a panelist on WAMC's The Roundtable, you are a Siena College professor, and Siena College, like a number of colleges and universities across the Northeast, have adjusted their teaching schedules, in some cases shut down the campuses. Mm-hmm. What are you doing as it pertains to teaching students for this semester?
Yeah, so we are completely online. I have been in touch with a number of our students. We extended our spring break for all students to this week to make sure everybody can get settled at home and get their books and their materials ready and their internet access. So I have an opportunity to get training for online classes. I've been emailing with students, especially seniors who are finishing up honors theses or other research-based projects, and so we're in touch. We're trying to build up this opportunity to learn through online activities, and I'm very grateful because Siena has been incredibly well organized. We have a very good leadership giving clear instructions. Our information technology office has done convincing work reaching out to all faculty and students, getting them ready to go online. So I've been more than pleased with how Siena has handled the situation. Everyone's safety, health, and progress towards the end of the semester is foremost on our minds.
Vera Icarius-Kelly is a Siena College professor and a regular panelist on WAMC's The Roundtable. Vera, thank you for your time.
Thanks so much. Take care, Jim.